There are a great many people who believe that the man was the greatest of all composers for the piano. For 100 years, people have loved his romantic nocturnes, mazurkas, his warlike polonaises, and his graceful waltzes. He was but 39 years of age when he died, but his music changed the world. Music would never be the same again. This man touched harmony and melody with marvelously new colors, guided always by his immaculate taste and his unerring sense of musical proportion. He created freedom out of discipline. By composing from his heart, he achieved a poetry that remains ever new and alive. The visual sounds of Mike Worf present the romantic life of the Polish pianist who changed the world of music. In our presentation entitled, The Poet of the Piano, The Life, The Times, and the Artistry of Frédéric Chopin. Polish composer Frédéric Chopin lived a life which might have been written for him by a romantic novelist. All the elements of beauty, love, and haunting sadness are present in his story. Chopin was born in a small town outside of Warsaw in the year of 1810. His father, Nicolas Chopin, had come to Poland from Lorraine, France, seeking his fortune. While working as a tutor, he met his future wife, a beautiful girl of noble descent. And for the next 4 years, Nicolas courted the lovely lady, and at last he persuaded her to marry him. They became a devoted couple, parents of 4 children. Frederick was their second child, and to the delight of his parents, he showed amazing musical ability at a young age. He was writing musical pieces for the piano at the age of 6, and at the age of 8, he began playing in public. By the age of 10, Frédéric Chopin was a slight boy with large dark eyes set in a pale, serious face. He was also gaining a reputation as a child prodigy. Sometimes at night, a coach would come and take the young pianist to the castle of the Grand Duke Constantine, governor of Poland. The Duke was subject to frightening seizures of madness, which he insisted only the playing of young Frederick could claim. A calmness. Quietly, the boy would enter the Duke's room, seat himself at the piano, and play the lovely old melodies. Within minutes, the old man would become less violent, and he would sit back and relax in his chair. Many times the boy was summoned in the night. The stage seemed to be set for a life filled with both the greatest moments man could hope for, but perhaps also the saddest. Frederick's piano teacher, Aldebert Zwenny, recognized the boy's extraordinary talent and urged him to compose pieces of his own. Happily, the child called upon the music of his homeland, mazurkas, polonaises, as well as the more popular music of the day, minuets and waltzes. Frédéric Chopin's greatest teacher, however, came into his life later when he journeyed to the Warsaw Conservatory. It was there with Professor Elsner that Frédéric Chopin's full potential was realized. Elsner tried to persuade the boy to compose pieces for orchestra, operas, string quartets, but Chopin made it clear that the piano was the only instrument on which he wished to express himself in music. He felt that the piano was enough by itself. He never felt the need for other instruments. Now, only 15 years of age, Chopin gave concerts in Warsaw. The handsome young man bowing to the adulation of society audiences, roses were thrown each night, and everywhere he turned, the young lad was complimented on his music and his mastery of the piano. Chopin had traveled to Vienna in the year of 1829 to play two concerts arranged by Count Wenzel von Gallenberg. The young boy had been impressed by the glamour of the city, and gradually, Frederick was becoming discontented with the confining musical circle in which he moved in Warsaw. He yearned for the excitement he had found in his journey to Vienna. Expressing his feelings to Professor Elsner, his teacher agreed that the boy might return to Vienna for more concerts. In his imagination, Frederick saw himself as the toast of Vienna, and perhaps most wonderful of all, someday all Paris might know of Frédéric Chopin. On November 1st, in the year of 1830, Chopin bid goodbye to his friends and townspeople. He was 20 years old and never dreamed, as he wept and embraced his family, that he would never again return to the country of his birth. Brushing aside his despair at leaving home, he started to eagerly plan for his bright future in Vienna. Chopin faced bitter disappointment. Count Gallenberg had become bankrupt. The publisher whose support he had counted on seemed less than interested now that the piano prodigy was actually in Vienna. Chopin sank deeper into despair upon learning that his countrymen had begun a revolt against their Russian landlords. Immediately, he wrote to his father of his plans to return home and help in the cause that he so strongly believed in. Frederick's father, however, was aware of his son's delicate health and wrote that he should remain away and not attempt to return to Poland. Within days, Chopin received money from his family requesting him to leave Vienna and go on to Paris. At the same time, word reached him that his beloved Warsaw had fallen to the Russians. Out of Chopin's sorrow for his ravaged country came one of his most stirring etudes, which we know today as this melody. It was a heavy-hearted Frederick Chopin who arrived in Paris in the year of 1831. Soon, however, the exciting creativity that abounded in Paris at that time caught the young man up and carried him back into life. It was the age of such musical giants as Luigi Cherubini, Rossini, and Franz Liszt. Franz and Frederick soon became close friends. The two had much in common. Both were young, completely dedicated to their music. Handsome and both enjoyed the good life that Paris had to offer. But the good life of Paris came high. Chopin found himself with very little money, unable to arrange concerts, and having little luck selling his compositions. All around Frederick were other good pianists who had come to Paris for the same reason. Lean days followed, days in which he considered traveling on to London, or perhaps even to the United States. Before final plans could be made to leave Paris, a chance encounter with an old friend brought him to the attention of Prince Valentin Radziwill. Frederick was invited to a party at the home of the Baron de Rothschilds. This one encounter seemed to change the course of his life. Baroness de Rothschild, impressed with a handsome young man, asked to become his pupil. Soon others were following her example. Chopin became the toast of society. His dreams of becoming a success were suddenly coming true. Soon, everyone knew his name. Frederick Chopin. His concerts brought rave reviews. Robert Schumann wrote, "Hats off, gentlemen, to a genius." Robert Schumann and Frederick became close friends. No longer were the doors to the publisher's offices closed to him. In fact, they were clamoring for each and every composition. Frederick allowed himself all the luxuries which he could now afford. Always fond of fine clothes, he now bought the latest styles. Waistcoats of royal blue, mauve, pale gray, capes lined with brocade. He looked the part of a successful young genius of the day, and he was. As the francs continued to fill his pockets, he hired servants and a coach of all the young men in Paris at that time. Frederic Chopin was in the most demand. An unfortunate misunderstanding between Chopin and his friend Franz Liszt ended their friendship. It was a blow to Chopin. The Hungarian composer Liszt is supposed to have said something which offended Frederick so deeply that he never wished to speak to Franz again. Robert Schumann, a great admirer of Chopin's, remained Frederick's close friend, soothing some of the feelings at the loss of his friendship with Liszt. Riding the dizzying heights of his success, Frederick was soon meeting everyone in Paris, artists, musicians, even royalty. For 10 years, Frederick tasted social and economic success. Although he enjoyed what music had brought to him, he never lost sight of the fact that music was his life. In spite of the pace of his social life, Chopin continued to compose some of his finest works during these years. He was never satisfied with a piece of music until he had polished, sharpened, sweetened, and molded each note to perfection. The charm of his music came from its poetic quality, never failing to touch the hearts of his listeners. Throughout life, Frederick's music could be heard in his native love for Poland. The gay spirit of Polish dancing can be heard in his etudes and nocturnes. Although he gave the world of music new techniques for the piano in freer finger usage and pedaling, Chopin remained a poet of the piano, using his music to speak his feelings of love or sadness or love of his country. When Frederick was 26 years of age, unknown to him, life put him on a collision course with one of the most controversial figures of the time. Her name was Madame Aurora Dudevant, who wrote under the pseudonym George Sand. George Sand, who to the horror of Paris society, went about in men's trousers, wrote novels, and of all things, smoked cigars. After their first meeting, Chopin remarked, "How unappealing she is, that Sand woman." Madame Dudevant, or George Sand, was quite differently impressed with a young composer. Frederick, who had been in delicate health since childhood, had recently shown serious signs of tuberculosis. Something in the gentle, pale young man made this strong woman determined to undertake his care. As she later wrote, "I need to suffer for someone." The relationship of George Sand and Frederick Chopin has been interesting to Chopin biographers for years. Although he was seemingly not at all interested in Madame Dudevant when they first met, either as a woman or as an individual, as time went on, he became obsessed with her. Her aggressive spirit, which he disliked so very much at the very beginning, became one of their strongest bonds. She referred to Chopin as her invalid and completely gave over her life to the protection of his care. She seemed determined that by sheer force of will, she could nurse him back to health. Chopin became her devoted slave. She could do or say no wrong. Anyone wishing to have an audience with Frederic Chopin soon learned that he must first speak to George Sand. Only through her could Chopin be reached. Madame Dudevant was neither an ugly woman or a raving beauty. Her charm, which had captured many men, lay mostly in her intense personality, her wit, and her keen intelligence. Instead of resenting her taking over his life, it seems to have provided Chopin with a shield from life, which gave him more time for his precious music. You're listening to the visual sounds of Mike Worf, our presentation, The Poet of the Piano, The Life and Times and Works of Frédéric Chopin. Please let side one expire. Turn tape over for part two of The Poet of the Piano. It must be admitted that out of their 10-year relationship came many of Frédéric Chopin's finest works. Placing Chopin's health first in her life, George Sand decided that he must have sun and rest. For this, she chose Mallorca, off the coast of Spain. She felt certain that the warm Mediterranean sun would produce the cure she hoped for. After they arrived and settled into their villa, a torrent of rains began which caused Chopin to suffer a severe setback. His coughing became worse. The results of this trip were almost disastrous to his health. What was meant to cure almost killed the young man. Madame de Devant quickly booked them on the next boat leaving Mallorca. After landing in Marseille, she had him carried quickly to her country home in central France. It was here the couple settled down for their longest and most peaceful time together. They remained there for nearly 7 years. And during those years, when Frederick's condition improved for short periods of time, he made a rare public appearance.
Thank you.
Madame Dudevant saw that Chopin had the quiet atmosphere needed to compose and shielded him from visitors, and in general treated him as she would a sick child. During these years, George Sand had continued with her writing, producing a novel entitled Lucrezia Fioriani. The novel had for its central character Prince Carol, a weak, dependent character. Shocked, Frédéric Chopin realized upon reading the novel that she had patterned Prince Carol after his own personality. Brokenhearted at what he felt was an unforgivable betrayal of their love, Chopin confronted her with his suspicions, and after an ugly quarrel, it was decided that they could no longer go on living together. George Sand had already become disenchanted with her job of nursing the ailing composer. She had finally come to realize that even her will, strong as it was, could not cure his condition. She gave as her reason for their separation their constant quarreling over her two children. Chopin suffered terribly when George Sand went out of his life. She, however, felt that she had done all in her power for the young man and left him with no apparent feelings of guilt at his anguish. Chopin's condition was worsening. He seemed to be losing his long battle with tuberculosis. Lost and bewildered, without Madame Dudevant, Frédéric accepted an invitation from a pupil to come to London. There in the summer of 1848, Frédéric Chopin was introduced to many of England's great personalities. Charles Dickens, Lady Byron, Carlyle, and he was greatly honored at being asked to play for Queen Victoria. His health was failing fast. The weather in Britain was the worst possible for his condition. Worried friends accompanied him back to Paris in November of 1848. Old friends coming to visit, left with tears in their eyes at the sight of the brilliant young composer, so weak from coughing that he could scarcely speak. He was only 39 years old, but it was apparent to all that death was now sitting quite close to Frédéric Chopin. October 15th, 1849. Chopin received an old friend from Poland, Countess Potocka. She tried desperately to hide her grief at his pitiful condition. George Sand, Madame Dudevant, his constant companion for 10 years, never came to see him, even as he lay dying. 2 days after his talk with his old friend from Poland, Frédéric Chopin died. It was October 17th, 1849. In his 39 years, Frédéric Chopin changed the course of music. He left a lyrical, singing, poetic legacy in his piano compositions. At his funeral, they played his funeral march from Sonata B, his preludes in E, minor and B minor, and at his own request, Mozart's Requiem. Requiem for the man, Chopin, perhaps, but the singing poetry of his music will never die. The singing poetry of his music will never die, and all one has but to do is to listen to his brilliant composition to realize the truth in this statement. You have been listening to the visual sounds of Mike Worf, our presentation entitled The Poet of the Piano, The Life, the Times, and the Work of Frédéric Chopin.